Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN. This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes. Off and running on this May 4th, 2024. Hey, you. How you doing? How you feeling? Welcome in. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. I mean, so much to talk about. Too much, really. But so much to talk about for this Saturday afternoon, and we will run through it all. Of course, the number, you know it, 1-800-919-ESPN. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on X, at Gordon Damer, on TikTok, at Old Man Radio. But most importantly, you can find me right here on your radio, 6:30 tonight. We got plenty on our plate because we got the Knicks we got to talk about, Larry and I, because of the timing of that game. That game six on Thursday night, we were not on after the game, unfortunately, so I got a lot of thoughts about that game, a lot of thoughts about Knicks-Pacers moving forward, a lot of talk about just the Knicks in general. We got to get into some baseball stuff after the Yankees' flat performance against the Orioles during the week, the win last night, the Mets, so much going on with the NBA, and we will have some guests today. And since we're talking NBA, nobody better to talk the NBA with than Adrian Wojnarowski. And we'll have Woj coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll also look ahead to a little UFC action tonight, UFC 301. We'll talk with Kyle Anthony at 6 o'clock, what I learned on TikTok at 5:30. I mean, we got so much to do and certainly want to hear from you at 1-800-919-ESPN. But where we have to start is with the New York Knicks, because this is the Knicks' time. The Knicks, my friend, are having a moment. Knicks fans are having a moment, and it is a moment that they have waited for a very long time, and so often expectations lead to disappointment. But at least so far, the expectations have been realized with this Knicks team, and they continue, right? And you have to keep in mind, the thing about the Knicks is, in this day and age, in the world that we live in, unfortunately, everything nowadays feels so divided. Everything, there's at least two sides to things, and everybody's on one side or the other. And with the Knicks, it's like the one thing where everyone can kind of, if you live here, I'm not talking about if you live someplace else, if you live in Indiana, you live in California, but if you live in the tri-state area, the one thing that everybody can pretty much agree on, if you are a basketball fan, chances are you're a Knicks fan. There's that old line, if you hear hooves in North America, it could be zebras, but it's most likely horses. If you're a basketball fan in New York, you could root for some other team, but chances are you root for the New York Knicks. 4 out of 5 doctors agree. Well, it's a whole lot higher rate than that. It's like 95 out of 100 basketball fans in New York agree. The Knicks are the team to root for. And on Thursday night, we had game six, and to watch the Knicks after having to sit for 2 decades and at this time of the year be thinking about ping pong balls or pipe dreams about this superstar or that superstar or coaching changes or GM changes and excuses about this and excuses about that. The reason why, oh, it can just never work for the Knicks because of this thing or that thing or nobody wants to come to New York or all these different excuses. And to be able to sit on your couch down the stretch of a game and watch the New York Knicks go out and make the plays down the stretch to execute in the spotlight, it was beautiful to behold. And be it Jalen Brunson doing Jalen Brunson things, being the best star on the court on that night. It's funny, the conversation at times this year was that, well, Brunson's never the biggest star on the court. The other team always has a better player. Boy, that didn't have much shelf life, did it? So be it Jalen Brunson going out and doing his thing, the huge OG dunk, which was absolutely tremendous, to the Josh Hart 3, to Dante DiVincenzo finally re-emerging. It was fantastic to watch. It was incredible to watch. Now, I was not surprised. I told you before the series, right? Knicks in six. And I told you after game two that the series was over. And look at that. It pretty much was. Game five, a little fly in the ointment. And that was a surprise. But look, not even bringing in Scott Foster for game six could extend the series. They threw everything they could at the Knicks to try to extend that series one more. We need a game seven, Knicks Sixers. It's been the best series of the opening round so far. It's the one that everybody's talking about, be it Brunson, be it Embiid, be it Maxey, be it this thing, be it that thing. And the Knicks would not have it, and the series is over and out. And look, it all starts with Jalen Brunson. And here's how I just continually try to figure out a way to come up with a way to put into words how great Jalen Brunson has been. And I think it was a couple of months ago, even in this day and age where everything's divided, everybody has a hot take. Everybody has to try and find a little thing to pick at with every single player about every single thing. With Jalen Brunson, there is no other side. There's nobody on the side of, you know what, Jalen Brunson, that guy's really not that good, or the Knicks overpaid for it. All that's gone. That has been erased in less than 2 years, but certainly in the 2 years he's been here, all the people on the other side trying to find this thing or that thing to kind of diminish Brunson's impact, they've been erased. They're no longer here. And I would say that just to further illustrate how great he's been, you would have to, even the biggest Knicks fan would have to admit, one of the flaws of a Knicks fan is they're a little delusional. I can admit that Knicks fans, as a group, generally tend to be a little delusional. But even the most delusional Knicks fan, whoever that person is in your life, and we all have one, at least one. They're always jumping outside the garden after they win a playoff game. All those people, as delusional. Even the most delusional, out-of-his-mind Knicks fan would never have dreamt that Jalen Brunson would be what he's turned out to be. And it's wild that he was great right away when he got here. And it's like he continues to build on it. He continues to get better. Just when you think, well, it can't get any better than this, somehow, against all odds, it does get better than this. And there's not one delusional Knicks fan who could have dreamt that he would do what he has done and what he's up to. What's he up to now? Simply put, I know it's only the first round, so it's not as important as the conference finals or the NBA finals, but just in a vacuum of a playoff series, he just had one of the best stretches, really not even in Knicks playoff history, because that's, the downside of that. Well, there's not much history, especially not lately. Not over the last 50 years. Certainly not over the last 20 years. So he's not just had one of the best stretches in Knicks playoff history. I think you'd have to say, and I don't really think it's that great of a stretch, that the last four games he's had is one of the great stretches in NBA playoff history. To go 39, 47, 40, and 41. They had a stat on Get Up the other day that he's the first player since Jordan to average 40 or more in four straight games. That is pretty wild. So every time you think, well, can't get any better than this. Jalen Brunson can't possibly be any better. Somehow, against all odds, he finds a way to be even better. And look, this has led to a lot of hyperbole. It's led to a lot of talk. Well, he's the greatest Knick of all time. He's a top five Knick of all time. There's no way you can say any of those things yet. Is he in that? Is he projecting that way? Yeah, he is kind of projecting that way. Now, a lot has to happen to be in the conversation of greatest Knicks of all time if there are great Knicks who have won championships, right? So this has to end with that. And he's only been here 2 years, so it's a little unfair to put him in that conversation as of yet. I think it's clear at this point it's not even an interesting conversation to say that he's the best Knick since Patrick Ewing, because the only person you're really talking about in that span is Carmelo Anthony, and already Jalen Brunson has given you more in his 2 years than Carmelo gave you in all of his time here. But I think the two interesting things that you can say, clearly Jalen Brunson is the best bargain in any sport. Forget about just the NBA. When it is all said and done, he also, I think, is going to be the last guy who ever wears the number 11 for the Knicks. So those two things, I think you can say them right now with only 2 years of evidence. And you think about all the free agent moves every single year, and just teams in this town who make moves, not the Mets this past year, but you know, generally go out and spend money, big money on this guy and that guy and bring in this guy and bring in that guy. And we see it year in and year out. You would be hard-pressed to come up with anybody anytime recently, and my recently is like 20 years, who has been a better bargain in any sport than Jalen Brunson has already been.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Major League Baseball umpires are by far the worst sport umpires that there are. Everybody gets calls wrong, but there is nobody more belligerent about it than baseball. Think about all the sports that you watch. There is no sport that actively throws out the stars of that sport, throw them out of the game that fans have come to see more often on a regular day-in, day-out basis than Major League Baseball umpires. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because obviously the stage is all set for the Knicks, and we're going to get to the calls here in a second at 1-800-919-ESPN, as I'm during the break watching the Yankees and the Tigers game. I don't know who the home plate umpire is today, but there was just a called strike three on Aaron Judge. The pitch was outside. It might have, from the angle that they showed, okay, it maybe nips the black of the plate on the outside corner to Judge. Judge, clearly upset, says something, says BS. You can see that. Even I can read lips enough to know that one. He's walking away. He's on his way back to the dugout. The conversation is over. It wasn't an argument. They weren't face-to-face at this point. Judge just says something that he's unhappy with and is walking back to the dugout. And the umpire throws him out. He's three steps away from the umpire. It's the whatever confrontation there was, and it wasn't even a confrontation. It was just an unhappiness with what the call was. And he throws him out. There's no sport. You don't see this in basketball. You're telling me that basketball players aren't complaining about individual calls here or there? You're telling me football players aren't complaining about individual calls here or there in the course of the game? Somehow, those two sports seem to be able to make it work where the stars of the sport are not getting thrown out of the game on a regular basis. And it's not exactly like Aaron Judge is a guy who constantly harps on the umpire. That's what Aaron Boone's for. And it is a case where the umpires continually call strikes against the guy that are not strikes. Now, this one at least was in the ballpark. This was not the low pitch that he always gets called a strike against the guy who's 10 feet tall for some reason. So it was not that one, but it's amazing. It's amazing how many baseball umpires, it's like it's chronic. It's endemic. They have the most rabid ears. Now, at least the good thing here, I guess, is it was actually Judge who was complaining, and it was not some rando sitting in the stands who the manager got ejected for. At least we didn't do that this time. But it's unbelievable, and nobody's bringing this up. It happens on a and it's only getting worse. It's only getting... The robot umpire... I would rather have a vacuum calling balls and strikes at this point. Get me one of those... What is it? The Dyson? Get me a Dyson vacuum. It can call balls and strikes as long as it's allowing the stars of the game to actually play in the game. Can we allow the people playing in the game? It's unbelievable. It happens every day. It happens every single day. And almost always, the umpires are wrong. It's incredible. And they don't even care. They don't even care. They don't even care. Belligerent. Absolutely belligerent. And you could, if it was one thing where Judge was, all right, he's really kind of, he talked for four seconds. I've gone on longer. The robo-umps cannot get here fast enough. Any robot, whatever, go call up Elon Musk. Does he have any spare parts sitting around the back office? What do they got over at Amazon? Can we get a drone behind the plate? Let's speed up the process here. Unbelievable. Every day. You imagine how upset I'd be if the Yankees were losing this game. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. All right, so we're talking a lot about the Knicks. They get that Game 6 win and are now moving on to the Indiana Pacers, and certainly want to hear from you at 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. I did want to hit one thing before we hit the phones, and that is about the Sixers. Now that the Sixers are out, now that the Sixers have had another, you know, let's be honest, a flop of a postseason, and things will get blamed on the Embiid injury for another first-round exit. You know, it's been about a decade since the whole trust the process. And why that's important is, like, we have conversations about tanking in sports, and tanking has always kind of existed, but there's been no team in the history of sports who has tanked as hard, as publicly, and as brazenly with as little payoff as the 76ers. They are the team that brought tanking really into the conversation. It's always existed. Players would, but it would be tanking for a year, tanking in a draft, tanking for a specific player. But they were really the first team that planned out a blueprint. Hey, we are going to give up year after year after year. And to think we are a decade basically removed. That was like, what, 2015, 2014, somewhere around there, where it's now a team that has never been out of the second round of the playoffs, and it's pretty clear they're never going to win a championship with Joel Embiid, right? Like, as great as he can be individually at times, the dude is never healthy. You can never have faith that he's your number one and he's going to put it together for a whole year where he's just going to have this mess. And this was like, what, year eight, year nine? He's 30 years old with an injury history that's pretty long. And in a league where superstars are supposed to shine the brightest in the biggest moments, there are always excuses, injuries and migraines, the talent around him. And I think that that's the reason why even Sixer fans don't buy in anymore, because they're the ones that sold their tickets to Knicks fans. So it is pretty amazing that the whole trust the process, and we kind of wondered how that was going to play out. It seemed like, hey, how can this plan fail, right? We're just going to get number one pick after number one pick after number one pick in a league where talent wins. Somehow even the Sixers have been able to screw that up to a point where now I think it's pretty much been lined up that way anyway. But with each year that goes by and it does not click, it becomes clearer and clearer. The trust the process, you should not have trusted the process, because they screwed up the process. They screwed it up in a bunch of ways, but at this point it's clear it will never end where they thought it was going to end, and that is with an NBA championship. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's start things off on the phones. We'll go out to Mike is in Brooklyn. Mike, what's going on, man?
Yeah, how you doing? I wouldn't say the fan base is delusional regarding Jalen, because if you take a look at it...
No, I'm not saying they're delusional about Jalen. I'm saying Knicks fans are generally delusional.
Okay, fair enough. But if we look back at from Isaiah Thomas coming up to Iverson, coming up to Steph Curry, they're always sleeping on these guys. Meaning, if you're not 6'7", 300 pounds, that's where the problem comes in. So it's like you're underestimating the small guy, per se. That's my point in all of this.
All right. Well, but look, Mike, and thanks for the phone call. He has been great. He's been everything that you could have wanted for and a whole lot more. And where I say that the Knicks fan is delusional, they are. I mean, they're usually overly optimistic, and that's just not now. That's been as long as I've been watching the Knicks, that any move, any trade, any signing, Knicks fans always think it's going to be a whole lot better than what it turns out to be. But that said, even with that overly optimistic view, when they signed Brunson, the feelings, I think, with Knicks fans were, hey, this is great. It's a really good signing. I really like it. Nobody thought, not even the most optimistic Knicks fan, thought it could have turned out this well. That I would have told you, when the Knicks signed Jalen Brunson, hey, in 2 years, this guy is almost single-handedly leading you to the second round of the playoffs with 39 and 41 and 47 and 40. No one would have thought that. Which is interesting for a fan base that is usually overly optimistic. And if you would have said that, I don't even know that you would have gotten on the air of shows, because people, that's ridiculous. Jalen Brunson's not going to be scoring four. He's not going to be averaging 40 in a playoff series. for the final four games. That's even outlandish for Knicks fans. But the truth is stranger than fiction. Joe is in Queens. Joe, you're next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
Hey, Gordon. Thanks for taking the call. Your point about Brunson being great value made me think about how sort of unique it is that both the Rangers and the Knicks, both teams at the Garden, sort of have these franchise-altering free agent pieces, Panarin and Brunson, come at the same time. And, you know, I mean, the Knicks haven't had a whole lot of success recently. Obviously, the Rangers have, but it for a long time was buoyed by homegrown talent like Hank and that. I just thought it'd be interesting just to talk a little bit about that, how both of these teams having a similar situation at the same time, hitting on the right free agent.
Yeah, well, look, and Joe, I'm not as well-versed on the hockey one, but I know that Panarin, it seemed like there were more than just the Rangers that were interested, right? It seemed like in the early going that the Islanders really wanted him. I don't know if there were other teams that were hot after Panarin as those two were, but you'd have to kind of be led to believe that teams would be interested in him. In terms of Brunson, he should never have been able to get to the Knicks, right? Like, if the Mavericks had simply realized what they had in that player, they could have signed him, I think it was like mid-season, they could have signed him to a contract that would have been like for $50 million for 4 years or so. Maybe it was $60 million for 4 years, whatever it was. They had him. And it wasn't like he had made up his mind, I don't think, at that point, hey, I'm leaving for sure. Maybe he had. But if they could have locked him up and they decided not to do that, because I'm sure that they're, in terms of salary cap stuff, they would have had to maybe move some pieces around to be able to free up that money. But it is wild, man, how good he has been and how he has over-delivered. You think about when any team, like as great as Juan Soto has been with the Yankees, he's not over-delivered. This is what you thought you were getting with Juan Soto, and he's delivered as much as you thought. And if they have to sign, when it comes time to signing him, it's not going to be a bargain, that's for sure. He's going to be great, and he's going to get paid that way, and that's what you have to do. This is, it is wild how much he has overperformed and taken a franchise that it would be hard to have trusted their judgment before this regime came on. And now this is, out of all the great moves that they have made, this one is by far the best, and really the best in the NBA, and the best really, I mean, try and find me a better bargain anywhere than what Jalen Brunson has done, and done it based on, you know, kind of the sport, done it single-handedly. Hockey, it's harder to just do something single-handedly. With the NBA, it's a little easier. Let's go out to Fran is in Massapequa. Fran, what's going on, man?
What's up, kid? How you doing? I wanted to talk about because you made a remark about Knicks fans. I'm a Knicks fan. Where do you want to go first?
Yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you got.
All right. The Judge, I'll make it quick, and then we'll go to the Knicks. The Judge thing, I'm a Mets fan, diehard, so I know miserable. But the umpires, Judges, hey, listen, you can't throw a guy like that out. Leon, listen, the bottom line is this. The umps, we know they suck. It's that simple. There's nothing more to say. You gotta make a rule. You get it's like two technicals, like in the NBA. So Judge, you know, hey, all right, you got a warning. You know what I mean? He goes back to the dugout, whatever. And now he knows next time the moron's gonna throw him out because these guys are so stupid and egotistic. You gotta do that. You gotta rein him back, and you gotta say, hey, you know what? We gotta do this. Implement a system where you have to give a warning. You have to go to the bench.
They have to do something. It's an epidemic in the sport every day.
It's stupid. I mean, and I don't care. These guys are million-dollar athletes. The umps get paid great money. If the guy says, hey, F you up, you can't take it to heart. I mean, it's a men's game. You know what I mean? There might be some other guys in the game, which is fine, but it's a man's game. And the bottom line is this, cursing, screaming, guys getting mad, and I played ball. Nothing worse than when a guy in a blue uniform, the ump, blows the call. It sucks. So now let's get on to the other thing. You mentioned, now let's just get straight what you said about Knicks fans, they're delusional. Now, took that to heart. All right, now I'm going to prove to you that I'm not delusional. Okay. And if you're there are Knicks fans, and then there are Knicks fans that are basketball fans and maybe played a little bit. And I did. And I'd like you to look up when, I can never say his name right, but when Luka Doncic got hurt and the kid went in and played. I want you to look up the two series I think he played, whatever star, whatever it was, and look at the games that he had. I watch every playoff game, pretty much. And I'm telling you right now, I watched the kid. I didn't know he was going to do this. No, 40 a night. But I knew this kid had some potential, no doubt about it. You're right. Nobody knew what was coming. But if you, I would like it if you could, during your show, look at those
games. We kind of hit on that when the move was made, right? But even then, it was a very small sample size.
Yeah, but even 10 games. I think he played 10, 12 games. He was scoring 30 a night. I'm telling you. The guy's a stud. We got lucky. Say whatever you want. You know, I know what you're saying. And there are delusional fans, no doubt. But listen, the guy is everything you want. If you watch those three guys in the interview, it was everything you want in sports, man. And we've been waiting for it. And you know what? I'm a miserable fan, but this is why you're a fan for the bad years, too. Because when it goes good, it tastes so sweet. And this is only a little bit, but it's still sweet. You do a great job, man. Thanks a lot. I like when you're together, and I like when you're by yourself.
I appreciate that, Fran. Here's the thing, and it's a realization that you don't get when you become a fan. And I think that this is why Knicks fans are appreciating this as much as they are, is because when you become a fan, you think, well, my team might be down now, but they won't always be down, right? At some point, it's going to be our time. It's going to be our year. And it's somewhere, I don't know, I'm assuming it's different for everybody. But if you're a fan of a bad team for a long period of time, there's that realization, and maybe you don't vocalize it, maybe you don't focus on it, but there has to be that realization, you know what? It's never going to be our time. It's never going to be our time. I'm going to watch this team, whatever team it might be, for my entire life, and they're just never going to get it right. So to finally see the Knicks after two decades come out of the wilderness and be back and doing what they're doing, and again, only the first step. Nobody's satisfied at this point. Nobody's saying, hey, you beat the 76ers. You're all good. Nothing more expected. No, you're expecting that this is only going to continue to move in the right direction based on where you started, based on the steps you're taking. First year, you make the playoffs. Last year, you win a playoff series. This year, you're a series away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And still with a big move out there to be made for another superstar to play alongside Jalen Brunson. No, Knicks fans are, because here's why Knicks fans are delusional. They always think, they always side on the picture is rosier than what it actually is. Now, there is a portion of Jet fans that are that way, but there's also a good majority of Jet fans that are always, it never works out for us, it's never going to, that's not the same as Knicks fans. Knicks fans are generally far more, they are the most optimistic fans maybe in this town, which is saying something given the amount of success that they've had here over the last 25 years.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Coming up 4 o'clock, we'll talk some NBA with Adrian Wojnarowski, get some thoughts on the Knicks, on the current situation with the playoffs and everything else, but also with the Knicks, it's always a conversation about the future, right? Well, who are they chasing? Well, what's going to happen in the offseason? How active of an offseason? So we'll get into that with Woj coming up at 4 o'clock. But let's get some more phone calls in here. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Talking a lot about the Knicks. Also talking about the baseball umpiring situation, which is an absolute embarrassment for the sport. And I feel like I'm the only one that's talking about it. Every single day, no matter what game you watch, there's a good chance you're going to watch one of the stars of that game, either the manager maybe, or one of the stars of the game today, Aaron Judge, getting kicked out for basically nothing. So in case you didn't see the clip, Judge was upset at a strike three, which did look like it was outside. And maybe you might think, well, Judge is struggling. He's just up. He had a couple of hits today. He looked good today. And as he's walking away, walking back to the dugout, the conversation is over. The umpire just can't let it go. God forbid they can just let something go. He has to eject Aaron Judge. And it happens on a nightly basis around Major League Baseball. So for me, as soon as that first robo ump is rolled off the line, I think that it's like the Ford processing plant, right? They're rolling them off the line like that. Yeah. Whenever one of those first robots send it in an Uber over to Yankee Stadium as fast as possible. Please. All right, so that's what we're talking about. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go out to Mike is in Queens. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good afternoon, everyone.
What you got?
So listen, I don't believe Knicks fans are delusional. Okay. I believe they're very optimistic. And I do understand the past since 1973, and I do understand what happened in the 90s. But what it is people don't realize that for the past 4 years, James Dolan has stayed out of Knicks business.
You don't
and
know
he
that.
Let the front office run everything. We built through the draft, and we created our own superstars. So we don't need to chase
anyone. They didn't really build through the draft.
Well, we got some great draft picks, and then we picked up Jalen Brunson, and then we got DiVincenzo and Hart.
Right. Randall's not a draft pick.
And he's not drafted.
DiVincenzo's a free agent. Brunson.
We have great salary. We have great cap space. Mm-hmm. And we can do anything that we want. If we watch how the Knicks are playing, before everyone got hurt, we were the best team in the league.
Well, and then we still ended up. They did deal with a lot of injuries. They had that one stretch. I mean, a lot of teams, right? Like the Sixers before Embiid got hurt were one of the best teams in the league. So that's all. That's all part of it.
Absolutely.
But look, I mean, being wildly optimistic is a sign of being delusional, right? Like if things always turn out wrong and you always predict wildly optimistic scenarios playing out and they never plan out that way, that's a sign that you're probably not reading the situation realistically. And look, I'm not bad. It's a sign. It's actually an adorable characteristic for any fan base to still be optimistic in this day and age, right? Like the Yankee fans, they're the opposite. I'd much rather be a Knicks fan being wildly optimistic than a Yankee fan being overly pessimistic at every turn.
Yeah, but don't you get that sense that something magical is happening? I mean, if you really look at it, you can see the fire in these guys' eyes. This is the team of the 90s or the Knicks team of the 2000s or the Knicks team of the 80s. This is a brand new team, and you can see the fire and desire in their eyes, and that something actually is happening. They're beating teams decisively. Well, they're fighting. They're
decisively.
Fighting.
Again, Mike, you're not exactly – Mike, thanks for the phone call. You're not exactly making the best case that you're not a little wildly optimistic. And look, I don't mean it as an insult. I'm just saying that Knicks fans have a tendency to always kind of think the glass is not just half full, it's like overflowing. And that's great that they have and it's great to see them get the payoff because this team is fantastic and it's super easy to root for and it has all the characteristics that you'd want. But that does not excuse the past 20 years. And look, the optimism now is based in reality. Saying that you're optimistic about this team, that's not the sign of delusion. It's the previous 20 years before that where every trade and everything. And the point that I'm making is even the most optimistic Knicks fan, even the most delusional Knicks fan, they didn't think that this was possible with Jalen Brunson. That's really saying something about how great. I'm just trying to find a way to illustrate how great Jalen Brunson has been, more so than the same stats and the same numbers that everybody else has given you. It's not meant to be an insult. Noel is in Piscataway. Noel, you're next up on the Gordon Damer Show.
Gordon, how are you, sir?
I'm good. What's going on, Noel?
Listen. So I'm glad you took the time to define delusional in your last, in your last breath there, because I don't think Knicks fans are delusional in the fact of we think that we're going to win the championship. Right. This is where I think. Defining your logic is important, right? I think the Knicks, if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, I'm ecstatic. I'm happy. We reached a really good point, and we have places to go, right? And I'm not thinking we're going to win a championship because we are down one of our all-stars. So let's call that what it is. Now, let's talk about matchups. I know you wanted to segue into Indiana and the matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I think we match up great. They really don't have bench depth. If you look at, I call them the big three, the NY big three, Achiuwa, we can put him Turner. We can put Mitch Robinson. We can put Hartenstein on Turner, lock him down, and their power forward as well. Siakam and OJ, OG can lock up, right? OG, I think, is bigger, stronger. I can lock him up. And then the problem is going to be, Halliburton, because he's like a rabbit out there. And we really got to, lock him down push him around a little bit, get Hart on him, put McBride on him. And I think a couple of shout-outs need to be made, if you will let me. Number one, the front office of the Knicks needs to get a definite shout-out. Number two, the coaches that have developed these players, like Deuce McBride and others, Achiuwa, as our All-Stars went down and got hurt. Think about the job they did developing those guys. And number one, Rick Brunson, for bringing Jalen Brunson into this world and coaching him to be the kid he is. It's really touching if you ever see those videos.
Yeah,
in the park when he's a kid.
Jalen didn't seem too happy at the time.
Do it again. Do it again. You know what I mean? It's a really good thing for kids to see out there in the sports world that are trying to do something that, hey, sometimes you got to suck it up, and sometimes you have to, you know, bite the bullet. But, you know, your parents and your loved ones and coaches want the best for you. So it's a great story. Now, my last point, and I want your feedback on this. This is a big one here. The trade at the end of this season that the Knicks need to make that will not cost them draft picks, that I think is mutually beneficial for both teams, is right across the Brooklyn Bridge. We do Randall for Bridges, straight up. And
I appreciate that, and thanks for the phone call. And Noel started the call by saying Knicks fans are not delusional, and then he ended the call by saying we'll give you Julius Randle coming off this shoulder injury, no draft picks, and you give us Mikal Bridges. Yeah, I don't think that that's going to happen. B, I don't think the Nets are giving up Mikal Bridges for that little. And C, not the strongest case for Knicks fans not being delusional. And look, the delusional part, I didn't really mean for this to be the main focus of it. It doesn't have to do with now. You're not delusional if you see success and you see actual results and you're happy about the... No, that's the time. Right, of course, this is the time where it's not about delusion. The time of delusion is the years before Tibbs, the years before Jalen Brunson, when Phil Jackson was going to fix everything, or when Stephon Marbury was going to fix everything, or the Amari signing is going to vault the Knicks back into this thing or that thing, or bringing Melo here. We're going to now be a championship contender. Those were the times I'm talking about the Knicks delusion. No, seeing what Jalen Brunson is doing now and seeing what this team is doing now, that's not the indication, because there's actual evidence to back up your optimism. Back then, you guys, a lot of you, were still as optimistic, but there was no evidence to be that optimistic.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Coming up 4 o'clock, we're going to talk with Woj about everything Knicks, NBA landscape as we move into the playoffs a little deeper, and what you think the offseason is going to look like in terms of moves here or there. But I will tell you, if you hang with this show until 6:15 tonight, I will give you everybody's favorite gift, free money. I will tell you who is going to win the Kentucky Derby. Now, you might be saying, Gordon, you don't know anything about horses. That is correct. You are not wrong there. And I can't tell you how I came into this information, but I am going to give you the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And you might be saying, you say things all the time. I am on a heater right now, my friend. Don't even play. I gave you the night before the NFL draft, I told you exactly what the Jets were going to do. I said the Jets are going to trade down, they're going to pick an offensive lineman, and I gave you the name. If you didn't make money on that, that's your fault. I gave you the information perfectly. I gave you the Giants that they were going to take a wide receiver. When all the conversation was in the course of that day, oh, they're trying to move up for Drake May, they're trying to do this, they're trying to... I'm saying they're going to stand pat, and they're going to take a wide receiver. Now, I did not give you Neighbors' name, but I did say wide receiver, and you could bet what position they were going to go. So if you didn't make money on that. And then, Knicks series, I told you before the series, Knicks 6. So I'm on a heater right now. So dismiss me if you wish, but you do so at the risk of your own wallet. All right, let's get some more phone calls in. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go out to Adam is in Great Neck. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm actually about to go through the Midtown Tunnel, so I hope I don't lose you. But I heard you talking before about Nick Fans being delusional and always up, which I agree with. I think this era of management just has a different ear to it.
Oh, like, absolutely. They've given you actual results. No, no question.
No, I understand. But what the guy was saying before, with Dolan being out of the picture a little bit more, which is my favorite thing ever because I was ready to basically drop the Knicks.
But Adam, we don't know that. And thanks for the phone call. We don't know that James Dolan is any less involved. It would make sense that he's less involved now because the team is good, right? I think in most sports, you want the owner to hire somebody and then get out of their way. But if the person that he hires is terrible, you don't want them to just leave that person alone. So yes, when the Knicks were winning 17, 20 games a year, I want the owner of the team to be more involved in the team. So maybe he is more laid back, but maybe he's not. We have no idea. Maybe he's doing all the same things as he's done before and he just wants the team to win. I know that there is a narrative surrounding James Dolan, and I think a lot of that is tied to the incident with Charles Oakley, which, let's be honest, Oakley has some, he bears some responsibility for that incident as well. It's not like he just all of a sudden ended up in that area. But I don't know that James Dolan is any less involved, any more involved. It would make sense that he's less involved because the people that he hired are doing the job and doing it as well as humanly possible. So I don't think that we should use this opportunity with the Knicks playing as well as they have played in forever to now use that as a way to take a shot at James Dolan, because we really don't know. We don't know anything about Leon Rose. He doesn't even talk to us, so I don't think that we can say anything about the owner either. Matthew is in Lindenhurst. Matthew, go, my man.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. You know, I got two points to make. One is on the Aaron Judge and just umpires in general this year. I think the only thing more ridiculous than that, that ejection today was when Aaron Boone got ejected for the fan yelling something.
Right.
But if I'm looking at this as a fan now, if I'm spending $500-$600 on tickets to bring a family of four, an extra $200-$300 in concessions and merchandise, and I'm there and Aaron Judge gets ejected, I'm losing my mind.
Matthew, you're not wrong, right? I would think that, and thanks for the phone call. I don't know what percentage, but if you're showing up with a young kid who's taking in his first game at a Yankee game, I would think that if they know any of the players at all, it's Aaron Judge. And that doesn't give Judge the right to just act like a jerk. And if he, I'm watching the clip as I'm on the air. So maybe he said something that I couldn't see, but the cameras were right on him. And I know what it looks like when you say a specific word. He did not say that specific word. He did say it was BS, but he's walking away. Why these umpires are so belligerent and so actively looking to make themselves the big man with rabid, it's not the first time. And look, if this were Aaron Boone, you might understand it more because he is always seemingly in the mix. Judge never complains. And Aaron Boone is not the person any Yankee, I don't care how young the Yankee fan is, unless they're related to Aaron Boone, they're not coming to see the Yankee manager. They're coming to see the stars of the game. And I just think it's a real negative mark towards the sport, one that I don't even feel like is being addressed at all, that these umpires go out of their way on a nightly basis to be throwing out people for balls and strikes. Sometimes maybe it is warranted if you say a specific thing, hey, blank you, that was not this case here. And for it to happen on a regular basis like it does, especially in this day and age of gambling, right? You want to talk about a way you could swing a game? Hey, there's an umpire who just decides to throw people out of game. It happens on a regular basis. People wouldn't even bat an eye because right now it's happening on a regular basis and nobody bats an eye.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.